So never being found alone, whether going to a nearby village or a far village, at nighttime or daytime, just always being involved, life on life, working with them. This village right here on the left is about an 8-hour hike away, and just trying to always take young men with me wherever I go so I can disciple along the way. They're not carrying my bag, though. I want them to carry me. So in May of 2019, we kind of restarted the Bible college. I say restart because there was kind of a Bible college there, and it kind of had fallen apart. There was no curriculum. It was just kind of people doing their best. In the national language, it's kind of a sad thing. There are no Bible college or Bible curriculums in the national language, Bishlam. It just doesn't exist. 2020, it doesn't exist. So what I've had to do is develop it. I have to develop it, write the curriculum, and I'll explain that a little bit later. So just really wanting to get the need out there. That's why we kind of changed our tagline, not just to the Tiale people, but to the Tiale people in the country of Vanuatu, because it's really an opportunity and a way to reach the whole country. And we'll kind of get into that a little bit. And so we started that. We built some dorms. We built some houses. We recently even added on to that, adding a big, about 60-foot kitchen and a couple more dorms, just trying to expand it. We could probably hold about 36 students if we needed to. And these are some of the pictures of the students. That's the new big kitchen that we just built back there. And just seeing that they want to be together in fellowship. Before we had a small kitchen, they were in a sense taking turns eating in different families just because it wasn't large enough to hold just 12 students. So one of the things I had to do is write the curriculum. So it's basically a 6-year curriculum program, 3 years as a student, 2 years as a kind of a student pastor in training, and 1 year kind of serving as a full-time missionary in your village. And so that's kind of a process that we're doing. And so about two years have been completed. And so several students have been further along in other parts. And so we're trying to get these guys developed and mature. So some of our greatest joys, though, is actually just finding them reading God's Word on their own. And not being pushing them in the sense of forcing them for school or training. Also, another thing is the guy on the left, his name is Isaiah. I've been discipling him since 2016. And he had to look after this church because I actually asked one of the pastors of this church because he just had just no knowledge of the Bible. I asked him to come to the Bible college. And so I had sent him up in kind of a place to look after the church in that meantime, kind of like a test draw for him as well. And he had led this thing to the Lord. And this was the first time he ever baptized anyone. So it was really exciting to see that process of seeing faithfulness to God's word and living it out in their lives. I had taught him the theology of baptism. I had taught him the practical theology of it. But I didn't necessarily show him how to do the baptism. My mistake on that. He just put his hand on her head and just plunged her like a little kid. It was quite funny. I was like, my fault. I should have explained that a little bit better. But he understood what he was doing. There's always something to build. So like I said, most of the churches that we were involved in, some of them have like little lean-to houses or lean-to buildings. And so as they have a pastor, we put a building. We don't want to put a building where there's no pastor. But there's this weird thing in Vanuatu, so you're trying to learn that balance. It's kind of like homesteading, and especially like here in America, like back in the day where you would run to a place and you would plant a flag and kind of claim that area. So a lot of different religions kind of do the same thing. And so if you can put a building there, that denomination, that type of belief system kind of, in a sense, claims that area. So there's kind of a unique balance of trying to figure out how to do that properly. And so we're trying to find a new balance of maybe putting like a little bit of a localized, kind of like a thatched roof, a little hut, claiming that, and then we'll put a bigger church building once they have a pasture developed. Yes, and by the way, sometimes the rivers we have to cross are about that deep. I have a video, just for the sake of not showing a video, sometimes PowerPoints have little issues with them. He goes completely submerged under water while he carries those big metal irons for the roofing. So yes, we can be found on Google Maps. If you want to look, that's our house on the left. Those are the solar panels that the Black families and everyone else here help install. That's a new boys' dorm, and that's part of the process of putting in the kitchen as well. So it is a real place. So we also do a lot of preaching and teaching and conferences. Like I said, we have 7 different churches that we're directly connected to. I kind of do like a round circuit type preaching. I kind of am always circulating through the different churches. Some churches are about 5, 10 minutes away, 20 20 minutes away, one's about an hour away, 2.5 hours away, 4.5 hours away, 8 hours away, and 12 hours away. So I kind of do like a round circuit amongst all of them and preach at them pretty regularly. Those ones that are further away, I go there for like a weekend and kind of do like a conference every time I go there, just to get them a little bit more teaching and train up the pastors while I'm there and give them some encouragement. So we do a lot of different other things as well, youth events. We had a youth event just last year, took about 76 of our youth to town and help another youth event in town, and we had a big old event. We were over half the population, so it was pretty fun. And there's always cultural events. Always be surprised and be ready for a cultural event. Sometimes you'll hear the conch shell blow in the morning. They use these big conch shells as their kind of like their meeting, and they blow on that, and then everyone kind of plays like the trumpet, and you just come. Sometimes you don't even know there's going to be a cultural event, and then you have to know a pastor. You have to preach sometimes. So you always have to be ready. Sometimes we're also the road crew, so not just one thing. So every year we have multiple cyclones, hurricanes, 1 to 4 times a year, and our road gets completely wiped out, and we have to remake it every year. So that's just what happens, and that's just the road crew. There's no government-funded aid there. So what does the future hold? The future holds so many different things. Like I said, the Bible College is growing. And then there's so many villages that are unreached still. We have, like I said, we've only been involved in about 18 of the 36 different villages. Only 7 of those 36 villages have pastors in them. And then we have 6 sister languages around us. And so the opportunity for ministry is kind of, in a sense, endless. And the Bible College, one of the things, that unique things of the Bible College this year, we had 12 different students. But within those 12 different students, they represented 7 different distinct language groups. We all use Bishlama, the national language, to communicate, but they represent 7 different language groups, and they come from 4 different islands. That is the diversity of our country. And most of them came because they heard that there's a Bible college that is going to be teaching in the national language. We didn't actually put out fillers or advertisers or anything out there. We just said, hey, we're going to start this. I invited a couple people, and through just inviting a couple people, 12 came. So we're hopefully, as we get a little bit more accustomed to running the Bible College, we'll hopefully max out that 36 students every year. And like I said, the diversity of the country is just massive. And so it's another way to reach the country, as we train people, develop them, develop pastors, putting them back into their own language group, their own people group, and they will take care of their people. And then eventually, Lord willing, after we, in a sense, work through the Tiale people, we are in the dead center of 6 other sister languages. So it's much very similar to like us speaking Spanish and then them speaking Portuguese, us speaking Spanish and them speaking French, us speaking Spanish and them speaking, in a sense, English or one of the other Latin American languages that are in our family group. So it's a different language, but they're in our family group. And so a lot of our guys speak their language and they respond in their language. And so that's one of the other possibilities for outreach and ministry to one of the other language groups. About 2 of them are asking currently for missionaries to do Bible translation. So they're just open, wanting to know God more, to have a Bible translation in their hands. Like I said, if you don't know what an unreached people group are, there's this list of 2,600 unreached people groups, and about 50 of them are in Vanuatu. So there's just a list of 55 feet long. Probably go to Mr. Mass in the back and hit him. That's how long this list is. And so it's just unreached people groups all across the world, most of which are asking for missionaries. Several of them are just our neighbors. So the job is yet to be done. So I just want to say thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your support in our ministry. I wanted to give you guys just a little bit of overview and give you about 10, 15 minutes of questions, if you have any. If not, it'll be a very quiet and awkward moment. Yes, ma'am. I've always, since the day I wanted to go into missions, I wanted to do Bible translation, as it says in Romans 15:20, and so go into that process. And then, so that's why we went to the training center and got the linguistics training. Yes, Linda. So several of the men did speak the national language, Bishlama, so we learned that, and then we started the process of kind of getting into relationships through that matter. Pretty quickly, because we came from Papua New Guinea, and so Papua New Guinea has Tokpigin, and these guys have Kisrama, and once again, those are kind of family related, and they're about 50-60% similar, and so we took about a month or two in town and got to pretty proficient language speed of everybody. But because it's Papua New Guinea, we were able to make that quick transition. That is our dog. Yes, that is our dog. We have a dog, and you have to have cats because they eat all the rats. Rats are everywhere. Yes, sir. God, mostly. So our house, so we left, for those of you who don't really realize what happened, we left in 2019, December 2019, because of Nicole's second medical evacuation. And through that, I had about 5 minutes really to pack up everything, board up the house, and get her to town, because of the way the flights leave the country, they're only 2 a week. And so I had to get out of the country, and while maintaining, looking after my wife, so I didn't get to do as much as I needed to do. But we're just hoping God takes care of the house. We had a couple missionaries go through in and out a couple times in the past year, check up on it. Everything's running perfectly fine as of now. Category 5 cyclone came through past April, and the house is still standing, so God's looking after it, no matter if we're there or not there. So yeah, and then also just to piggyback off that, we came back in January to America just to get second opinions. Nicole had been doing much better, and as she was getting better, we actually transitioned her off of one medication one to another. She was actually having some adverse reactions to the first one. And so now she's doing a lot better, completely normal, completely healthy, as thanks to God. And so God's been gracious. And we actually understand what she had. 2017, she was misdiagnosed, and we know what she has. And so we've been able to take care of that process now. And so doctors have given her a clean bill of health. She has to do a checkup once a year just to maintain that. But other than that, we're doing pretty well. Yes, James. So the Native, what is the national religion? Is that it? Yes. So they kind of go together in a sense. So our country would be labeled as a Christian country, but by no means is it a Christian country. Even on the money, it says "In God We Stand," but everything they do is animistic in nature. That means they worship spirits, believe in ancestry. I basically call it animistic light. It's called syncretism, really. So if you have a Catholic church in the village, even though it's Catholicism, it's not Catholicism. There's still witch doctors doing their form and function of their belief system. Likewise, if you go to some of the Baptist even circles, some of them that we don't necessarily work with or that we're trying to work with, they are very animistic in nature as well. And just everywhere they go, SDA, Seventh-day Adventist, Jehovah's Witness, they have all these different titles, but at their core, they're still animists. And as they're worshiping spirits, following ancestry, doing things like rubbing a stone to walk into the water so the spirits don't kill them, and many other things. She comes with me sometimes. She's been at all the villages I have been to, but I would say like she's been to the further ones only once each. Because they're pretty far, and then women just typically walk out, so they make the trip about 2 days long instead of 1 day. Even the nationals take longer. So she's been with me to all the villages, and so yes. Yeah, she works with all the women. She has about 3 or 4 Bible studies and prayer studies a week, and also living life on life with the ladies, walking in the garden with them, just living. Yeah, it's a lengthy process. And also lessons have to be developed, and I think that once again, that brings good. So the parents almost, in a sense, have no power because they have the communal aspect. So if the parents try to hit the kid, even though they do, they'll run away to like aunt or uncle's house or grandma's house because they all just live in the village anyways. The kids are pretty much they walk with mom and dad everywhere, where they go far or nearby, always working in the garden. A lot of the kids do go to school for a period of time, whether it be for a couple of years or up to sixth grade. And so they usually, parents want their kids to have a better life than them and want them to go to school and get a good paying job, but most of them actually just go back into this type of farming type lifestyle. So yeah, the kids are pretty well behaved for the most part, but just not really necessarily honoring and respecting their parents. But at a young age, all these girls would be left alone for a weekend or a week at a time to take care of themselves, and it's just quite normal, you know, for them. I've seen a 7-year-old. I saw a 7-year-old at one point take care of his two younger sisters for a whole weekend, you know, cook, clean, even discipline them. So yeah. Those are just from our support. Yeah, I mean, we get lonely in the sense that we're always the givers, and always, like, you know, in a sense, there's no peer-like relationship, definitely no a headship relationship. Nicole specifically, you know, God makes women differently. We're thankful for internet. We have, you know, she's able to, you know, call her mom and whatnot. But there is that isolation aspect. I'm an introvert by nature, so being alone is not necessarily a bad thing at times for me. But Nicole definitely misses her family. So it's a very isolating thing because for about 4 to 6 months at a time, we never leave the village. We'll be there isolated, and just especially during the rainy season, the rivers are impassable. For about 3 months of the year, one or both of the rivers are impassable. So it means we're literally stuck in the village or out of the village. We're pretty isolated in that regard. No other missionary lives near us for about 3 hours. And that's, when I say 3 hours, that's time. They all are in time. So our immediate village has about 140 people. But like, if you just walk 30 minutes out, you'll get another 50, another 100, another 100. So all villages are roughly about 40 to 150 people. What they are is basically just family units. So. It's Vanuatu's side. It's technically Vanuatu / Australia side, because all of the South Pacific kind of has like this unwritten policy that they all do the same thing, especially because it's a travel bubble, and they travel amongst themselves still currently to this day. So people, if you're in Australia, you can go there, New Zealand, you can go there back and forth. But in regards to anyone outside coming to those countries, those are kind of still on this, this is a lengthy process. It might take up to 8 weeks to do the transition if you wanted to do that. So we're just waiting for a 2-week quarantine, that process to be reduced just to 2 weeks only. So technically it's not Vanuatu, it's technically Australia, but it's technically their own, you know, cohorts together. Individuals. Oh, I mean, people have gardens everywhere. Like, I know people who have gardens 8 hours away. Some people have gardens on the other side of the island. They just kind of rotate them. So they have acres upon acres. They do hectares over there, which is like 2.5 acres. So they just have acres everywhere. But a lot of them even share a lot amongst themselves. So it's kind of communal in that regard. It's typically only for them, but there's a lot of sharing. No, they're not exporting those. The only thing they said, the women will take their markets, their stuff to the market in town and sell them. That's one of their ways to make income. Another one is to take the coconuts and dry them, and they'll make coconut oil and sell it to kind of there's a factory kind of in town. Another, the main product in which they make money is through what's called kava. It's a root, and it's actually a drug. So that's actually the main way to make money. It's actually a lot of antidepressants and muscle relaxers. It's actually a natural drug. And so it's one of the most lucrative ways to make money overseas in Vanuatu. The town has probably about, so our island has almost 60,000 people in it, about 15,000 live in town. So that's one of the things. Yeah, so the rest of the island is 75% of the population, whereas this kind of like a 5-mile circle is about where all 15,000 people live. I think it's about 40 miles by 60 miles. It's not that big. You could probably compact all of Vanuatu into Kansas and still have leftover space. Well, so you're in this conundrum here where they all drink kava, which is a muscle relaxant and an antidepressant. So there's not much violence when they're doing that. Outside of that, there is some violence, specifically in town. Villages are pretty peaceful because it's all family related, but town's a whole bunch of squatters. And so when there is violence, it's predominantly in town, but it almost never occurs when they're all overdosing themselves with that drug because they're all sleeping. It's a coconut oil factory. The Batu is about equal to the American dollar. It's just a couple pennies cheaper. But everything's more expensive over there. To give an example, all of you guys have farms here, an egg is about 50 cents. One. Yes. So. And for you men, if you don't know the price of eggs, a piece of plywood is about $100. Maybe you can understand that. Every meal. Yeah, so they still have their survivor-like mentality, even though they have the import of Western-style food, specifically rice. So they have food readily available, but they still are used to just always gorging themselves. That's why between the rice, the starch food, and the kava, we are another bad statistic of our country. Per capita, we are the most diabetic country in the world. So there's a lot of people missing toes and legs. You'll see a young 19-year-old guy completely just lean as all get out. And the doctor's like, we're about to take your toe. So I keep telling the guys to start eating rice. They don't mind. Yes, buddy. What do I pay with? I usually pay with what's called the Vatu. Or my credit card at certain stores. I mostly use my credit card. I'm going to show these. Do they use a what system? Barter? No, barter. You wouldn't barter with anyone there. That's typically more of an Asian type of function. Basically, if someone gives you a price, you just accept it. What they usually do too is if they see that you're agreeable, say that you buy like 3 sarongs for a good price, they'll give you a 4th sarong, which is like kind of a cover for a lady. It's not really even trading, it's more like sharing. It's kind of like implied sharing. Like, I'll give you some potatoes today and tomorrow you'll give me some corn. So it's kind of implied. But they keep count. They're very good at keeping count when they give you stuff. If you give them something, they're like an Etch-a-Sketch, they'll forget. You gave me what? I don't remember giving me rice. I just gave you a bag of rice yesterday. So give about 2 more minutes. 2 minutes. So good. Yeah. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. So for all of you skinny ladies out there, you would be what they would call unattractive and they want you to gain more weight. They like the women to be a little bit bigger. Everybody. In our people group? How many people? There's about 3,500 to 4,000 people that speak the Tiale language. So they've basically eaten everything. So we have cows, pigs, horses, chickens, cats, various types of pythons, and all these, a whole bunch of different types of birds. That's basically about it, though. Those aren't animals. We have centipedes. They're much bigger than here. They're pretty big. They're like a foot plus. Mostly little huts. We don't have any cities. There are no cities. Even in the big town in the capital is pretty small. It's about the size of, no, not even the size of Chris. So. No. You need one or two more. We'll finish up. Go ahead in the back. Meats. So basically, there's four types of meat. I guess it'd be chicken, beef, pork, and fish. So, oh yeah, and bat. It's my least favorite. It's my least favorite. Flying foxes. Okay, last question. Who would be that last person? Unusual. I mean, like, we were in Papua New Guinea. So, I mean, people eat spiders and grub worms, but to me, the bat, the wing of the bat is, the texture-wise, is one of the most gross things I've ever put in my mouth. It just melts for some reason, like a weird, lard-like thing. So, yeah. So, I guess a new closing poll. I wanted to make sure I finished on time so you guys have a little time to break for preaching. So, there's a closing prayer. Thank you guys very much. God, I just want to thank you very much for this church. The partnership with us. Thank you that when we share about people and their lives and how they're growing in their faith with you, Lord, it's not just my wife and I doing this job. It's everyone here taking part through their prayers, through their giving. We are, in a sense, an extension of this church. So may they be encouraged knowing that they are involved intentionally and they have a part in people like Frankie and in Isaiah's life. It's not just, in a sense, two people doing this job by themselves, but it is a church backing of the body of Christ, in a sense of engaging with other people. So may you encourage the people here at Bethel today, Lord, that they see that you are doing the work. It's not Seth and Nicole, but you are the one who's doing all things well. And we are, in a sense, along for the ride, just enjoying what you are doing in and through us. So Lord, we thank you and praise you. Because if it was done in our power, it would fall apart. And we're completely dependent upon you for all things. We praise you for this morning and everyone just being here and be able to hear your word. And may open our hearts and minds as we worship you in freedom, which many countries do not have, and able to use that language where there's many people who do not have a Bible yet in their language. We praise you. Amen.